I think the church, amen, always needs to have a true worship in her heart. The woman at the well, she said to Jesus, she didn't realize just yet who he was. She was getting a little closer by the moment. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. But before it was over, he was going to tell her, I am he that you're talking about, or the Messiah. That's who she mentioned. But she said, Lord, our fathers say in this mountain we're supposed to worship, and the Jews say in Jerusalem. Where should we worship? She was trying to settle that question in her mind. He said, woman, the hour is come right now that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Well, I felt the church doing that here tonight. Just putting their heart in it. It's so good to be a part of this meeting here. You can be turning to the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. I want to say I appreciate just the opportunity to be here. Appreciate Brother Nichols inviting us to be a part of what's happening here at Shadeville Church of God. And we just appreciate your pastor and his family and are always glad to get to spend some time with them. Of course, in a meeting like this, there's so many folks that we're getting around and talking to. We don't always get to sit down with one and talk for a long time. But the fellowship has been good, hasn't it? Brother Silvers, my, hadn't he been preaching great in these day services? Just feeding our souls. And I appreciate his ministry and those from his church and these from Flatwoods that are up here. Good to see Brother Don Ingram here. Amen. I've been running into him several places this year. I told him, I said, I know you're not omnipresent, but, you know, you're traveling around here. Makes me wonder what's going on. Amen. How you're getting around so good. I appreciate him and being here with us tonight. And all these different preachers. Brother Willis, good to see him. It's been a while since I'd seen him. Glad to see him in last night and here again. Today, Brother Phillips is already gone, and some different ones have come in, and I always get in trouble when I start mentioning names, leave somebody out. Please just overlook me if I have. I didn't mean to leave you out, but I'm sometimes a little nervous in these formalities until I get to preaching and feel the anointing. Then I feel a little bit more at home. But thank you for all the nice things you've said and all the things that you've done. The food's been great. Really has. Two different kinds of dumplings, and I like both of them. Amen. Hobo soup, is that what they called it? Yeah, hobo stew. I got over there. He said we got cornbread, and he said, for all you city slickers, we got rolls. Well, time I got there, the cornbread was gone. And so I guess I'm a country slicker, you know. I'm not really a city slicker, but I had to eat a roll, so... But I like them. It was good. We're just glad to be with you. I want you to look here at the 5th chapter of John's Gospel tonight. Would you slip your hand up right now and ask God just to speak to us here? Thank you, Lord, so much. Oh, God, thank you so much for your presence that we have felt here tonight, Lord, in this building. I'm asking you, God, to have mercy on us. Oh, God, have mercy, Lord, on us everyone. Have mercy on me and give me an unction to say just what you'd have me to. Nothing more, nothing less. Help me to preach by the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, God, pierce hearts. You know every life that's here, and touch us, Lord, where we need to be touched. Minister to us, Lord. Bring us to an altar and do something here tonight for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. So many different needs in this building tonight. And I want to say to you tonight, God is interested in every one of them. Now, sometimes it seems like the preacher focuses upon one of them. And that may even be the case here tonight before this is over. Amen. But I want to tell everybody here at the onset, when this altar call is made, amen, there's always time and room for everybody. Can I hear a witness? There are times when I preach to the lost, and sometimes when I do that, I'll reach for them for a good while before I invite everybody else to come. I think sometimes that's necessary. I think sometimes, amen, the church needs to wait while somebody makes an eternal decision. Come on now. You remember those days when they would keep on singing that verse over and over again? Huh? Oh, yeah. And I don't know, maybe you sat out there like I did as a young person thinking if they'll sing it one more time, I'll go up to the altar. I'm glad they kept on singing it, Brother Silvers, until I made my mind up to give my all to God. Amen. But regardless, amen, there's always time when we make a general call for everybody. I want you to look here, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and you pray for me tonight as I try to preach here. Amen. The 5th chapter of John, begin reading in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, notice where that's at, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. That means house of mercy. Another transliteration of that is the house of pity. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad God looked down on you and had pity one day? My. I remember talking one time to an elder preacher friend of mine, pastors out in Joplin, Missouri, Brother Jack Sanders. Maybe some of these preachers up here know him. And Brother Sanders, you talk about a student of the Word. He could talk the Bible with you for hours. I remember talking to him one time, and he began to give me his testimony of how he got saved. And he told me one of the events, he said that it was really a series of events, how God began to deal with him. And he didn't get saved at this particular event, but it was something that he never got away from. He was a young man in the military over, I believe it was in the Philippines. And while he was over there, he had some leave one day and went walking across the mountains, and his intentions were to go to a sinful place and indulge in some sinful pleasure. And while he was going on his journey, he said he walked by the outskirts of this little village. And when he did, he said there was a small child out there in a swing. He said, I looked at it and it was emaciated with hunger. Said there were sores all over its body and maggots inside of the sores eating on the pus in those sores. He said, I looked at it and it was a nauseating, hideous sight to behold. And he said, while I was looking at that child, a sinner young man, he said, I remember God speaking to me. You know God does speak to sinners. It's generally telling them to repent. Amen. It's generally a hand of mercy reaching out to pull them out of their sin. But God does speak to sinners. Can I hear an amen? In fact, Jesus let us know in one place that His custom many times was to set the 99 aside and go after that one lost sheep. Oh, I thank God that He spoke to me one day. Hallelujah. I thank God, even though I was a 7-year-old boy and can't even tell you what the preacher preached that night, that the Holy Ghost reached down in a small church in London, Kentucky, and convicted me of my sins. And I knew God was talking to me, and I got right with God. Aren't you glad that a Savior still reaches for sinners? I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. He said, I was looking at that child and said, God spoke to me and said, take that child and embrace it. Oh. He said the thoughts of it was nauseating to think of embracing such a child like this. He said, and then the next statement came from the Lord, impressing His Spirit. He said, that's what I did for you. Oh, God, help me here. Oh my. Yeah, he said, God impressed him, take it and embrace it as your own and leave your child in its state. And the Holy Ghost impressed upon him, that's what I did for you. Oh, I'm glad God looked down upon me when I was in a pitiful condition and He embraced me and He washed me and cleansed me and made me something. That's the whole idea behind what Jesus is doing here. This was a pitiful place He went to, Bethesda. Pitiful pool. No, it wasn't somewhere you'd go for pleasure. It was too grievous of a sight. Some of us can't hardly stand to visit a nursing home or a hospital ward, and this was much, much worse than what modern medicine has provided to comfort the afflicted. Amen. This was a terrible looking place. Look at those that lay there in verse number 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent, powerless. That's what that means. Potent means power. So, impotent, powerless folk, a blind. Oh, I remember when I was preaching in the Philippines several years ago, there was some noise outside the door, and I was staying in Brother Cook's home, and I stumbled out to the door to see what the noise was, and I saw a pitiful sight of a blind man playing a guitar and others leading him, and he had a can there. I was so touched, amen. I didn't even know what denominations, amen, the value of the Philippine money was, but I told Brother Cook, I want to give something here. Something out that would be a good gift for this man, and he showed me what to give. It touched my heart with pity. There were some folks like that right here. Halt. You know what halt means? That means stop. Amen. They had stopped. Their mobility was no longer there. They were halt. They couldn't go like they used to go. Oh, God, help me to preach here. Withered. Something that withered has once blossomed. But now it's withered. Let me tell you something. These aren't just physical conditions that the Bible is speaking about here. But there's some folks that are blind in their spirit today. There's some folks that have halted on their spiritual journey, and they've not went far enough to be right with God. There are some folks who once blossomed in the sight of God, but something happened in their life, and now they're withered, and they're not what they used to be. Oh, are you laying at this pitiful pool right here with this multitude? I feel like somebody here tonight is in this kind of company in a spiritual sense. Waiting for the moving of the water. Sometimes we just don't know what to do to help ourselves. And all we can do is wait. Oh God, help me to preach tonight. Sometimes waiting is the hardest thing we have to do, Brother Nichols. Oh, especially in the society we live in. Americans aren't known for being patient people. Come on now. Especially this generation. You know, we stand in front of the microwave and say, hurry up. Huh? Yeah, they say, statistics say that the average American loses his patience at a red light after 40 seconds. Amen. We're not typical of waiting on anything. That's why we're over our heads in credit. Amen. In debt. Because we don't like to wait for anything. We want it now and pay later. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what. If you're here tonight waiting on God, I feel like God wants to help you here tonight. I think sometimes we wait too long for God, because He visits us and we keep on waiting. It's one thing if we're waiting and He's not there. It's another thing when He comes by. When He comes by, the wait is over. Oh, God, help me here tonight. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first... Oh, I'd like to be first tonight. How about you? After the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Listen. And a certain man was there. You know, I think sometimes God gets His eye off the multitude and on the individual. I feel that here tonight. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to preach to you just a little bit here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here in a special way. Would you pray for me, church, while I reach out here tonight? Huh? I'm going to preach to you just a little while on Jesus came to make a change. Hallelujah. Jesus came to make a change. I was praying just a few days ago and the Spirit of God began to stir me up on a verse of Scripture. I need to preach on it here. I don't quite feel like I've got a message on it. Just the Lord has stirred my thoughts towards it. But it fits in here real good. And so let me tell you about it. It's over there in the book of Jude where the Bible says, on some have compassion. Hallelujah. Then the next verse says, others save with fear, pulling them from the fire, hating the very garment that is spotted by the flesh. Amen. But there's a phrase that's sandwiched in between both of those phrases. On some have compassion and others, amen, pulling them from the fire. There's a phrase that's sandwiched in between those and it says this, making a difference. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I believe Jesus wants to do in your life here tonight? I believe He wants to make a difference. He's willing to go, amen, to whatever end it takes, to whatever lengths it takes, use whatever method it takes. If He's got to pull you out of the fire and scare you of the eternal flames of hell, then He's willing to do that. Or if it's just a tender touch of compassion that will get your attention, He is capable of doing that. But what He wants to do more than anything is make a difference in your life. Oh, that's what He came by to Paul to do in this man's life. He came to make a difference. Oh, hallelujah. We need Jesus to change some things. Can I hear an amen tonight? A lot of things in this chapter I feel Jesus had in mind that He wanted to change. And I really feel like the day He was ministering in parallels the day that we're living in. And some of those things that He wanted to change then, He's still wanting to change now. Oh, would you help me preach just a little while here tonight? Huh? Number one, He wants to change religion. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, that's what a lot of folks need here today. They need a change in their religion. I'm not necessarily telling them to change religions, you know. I'm not telling you to go from Christianity to something else. Jesus is the only way. But oh, some of us, amen, need a change in what we've got a hold of here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I read a statement just recently, and it was spoken by a Baptist preacher years ago at a special convention. And he made this statement. It sounds kind of startling for a Baptist preacher to make a statement like this, but it's pretty good. He said, of all the things that we're doing in this generation, he said probably 95, if God decided to move the Holy Ghost off the scene, he said probably we would keep on doing 95% of some of the things that we're doing and pat our selves on the back saying that we were doing a good job. He said, but that's a terrible state for us to be in. We need to be in the condition to where our ministry cannot operate without the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's a powerful thing for a Baptist preacher to say. Hey, but that's a powerful thing for a Pentecostal preacher to say. But I want to tell you something here tonight. What do you have? Do you have something that just a mere form, or do you have something that is real and totally dependent on the presence of God? Oh God. Oh God. You know what the Jews had? They had group religion. In fact, they sacrificed individuality on the altar of nationalism. Oh, God, help me here. Well, to the Jew, religion was a national thing. Oh, God, help me to preach tonight. You know, we're getting to that place in America. We got people that think because they're born in America that is, quote, a Christian nation, that makes them a Christian. I'm going to tell you what, you got to be more than born in the USA. You got to be more than born to homeless parents. Come on here. You got to be born again. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, I'm afraid what we've got here in this society is we've got people of this same mentality. Amen. We've got group religion. Well, I thank God when we've got a big group together. I really like it. But you know what? The choir is made up of single voices. Oh, God, help me here. They had gotten so wrapped up in their feasts and their orders and their ordinances and their nationality that to them to be a Jew was to be right with God. But what was so sad was so many of these Jews had no relationship with God at all whatsoever. Even the high priest on one occasion said, "Shall not one man, speaking of Jesus, die for the nation? If we don't do something about him and his ministry, they're going to take our nation away." Oh my, all he was trying to do was give man a personal relationship with God. But they weren't interested in that. They wanted the big thing. They wanted the big group. God, help me to preach here tonight. Hey, that's what a lot of folks are doing in this hour we're living in. Oh, I need you to pray for me tonight, saints. I feel like I'm reaching here tonight. Huh? You know, really, I'm not against, you know, we want to grow, Brother Nichols. All of the pastors here want their churches to grow. I'm not against a church growing. But you know what we've got today? We've got some stuff that's just I don't really know how it helps folks much at all. The idea here in America is you know, mega churches. Well, I'm not speaking with the jealousy here tonight. But I hate to admit it, but I've been in a couple of those a time or two. Sometimes, you know, in family situations, you kind of get pulled in some things you'd rather not get pulled into, but you just do what you got to do. Can I hear an amen? And I went to some special services, you know, like a Christmas thing, and you know what I always left there? Amen. Just with an empty, hollow feeling. Because all it was a bunch of religion, a bunch of people that got together that wanted their little religious button pushed, and they walked out of there with a little bit of religion, but no relationship. I'm going to tell you what we need here tonight. We need more than religion. We need a relationship. I'm not worried about your religion tonight. What I want to examine is your relationship. Oh, God. Slide into a big crowd. Sit down. Hear some songs that have God's name mentioned in it. Hear a preacher get up and read some verses of Scripture and give some talk that's religious. Oh, God, help me here. Just about many times as secular as it is religious. But it never pokes your heart. It never digs, amen, your life. It never points out the sin that's separating you from God. It never holds up a full-fledged mirror of God's Word and lets you see where you really are. Oh, and everybody's going there. Everybody's going there. Yeah, everybody except Jesus. He's outside the door knocking, but they won't let him in. Oh, God, help me here tonight. Huh? What do you got tonight? You got religion? Well, I'm a member at such and such, and I'm involved in this program, and I've got this ministry, and I do that. Well, do you have a relationship? Have you talked to Him today? Oh, not just, Lord, bless this food. Not just asking Him for your financial blessing for the day. But have you talked to Him? Have you conversed with Him? And He conversed with you. Oh, God. I got family members that go to some of those churches. And they talk to me about how good their preacher preaches. And how big their crowds are. And how organized their outreach is. Are you listening to me here? And how they have to run buses out in the parking lot to pick up all the people. And they tell me all of this organization and order. And I look at their lives, Brother Lloyd Bailey, and I see, yeah, they have some religion, but they are so far from having a relationship with God. Got liquor in their refrigerator and a bar in their basement. Are you hearing me here? And wanting to tell somebody they're praying for them. You need to fall down in an old-fashioned altar and repent of your sins. You can't have a relationship with God and have sin in your life. You got to turn your back on sin if you're going to have a relationship with God. Oh, God, help me here. Preach on everything. Amen. All kinds of political and social issues. Preach on everything except the first word of the gospel, which is repent. Turn away from your sins. Religion. Religion. But no relationship. Oh, God. Oh, God. I want to tell you something. Jesus wants to change all that. Oh, God. Hey, you know what the acid test to get into heaven is? You know what test you got to pass? No, He's not going to read the membership of some church row. He's not going to ask what group you're associated with. Oh, God, help me here. Huh? But this is what He's going to say to a number of folks who give their religious credentials. Lord, I have done this. I have done this. I have done this. And you read the things that are mentioned. It even sounds like a Pentecostal group prophesying and casting out devils. Can I hear an amen here tonight? But this is what it all boils down to. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You never left your sins. I never knew you. And I couldn't have a relationship with you because you would not forsake your sins. Yeah, you had religion, but you never got a relationship. And the only one that can come in here are those that I've come in, me and the Father, and we dwell with them. I'm looking for those that have a relationship. Oh, God, help us tonight. You need a change, friend. Oh, God. I grew up, I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal. Cut my teeth, so to speak, on a Pentecostal pew. Got an experience when I was 7 years old. But didn't get a relationship until I was about 18 years old. There is a difference. Preacher, you can't argue with my experience I got 10 years ago. You're right, I can't. But I can examine your relationship. And you're going to have more than a 10-year-old experience. You're going to have a relationship. If we walk in the light, hallelujah, as He is in the light, then We have fellowship one with another. And if we don't continue to walk in that light, then we lose fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But if He shines some light on our pathway and we refuse to step into it, brothers and sisters, after a while, the light goes on and leaves us in the darkness. And we lose the fellowship and we lose the cleansing. It's not just an experience. We've got to have a relationship. Oh, God, help me here. Jesus comes into this great multitude, and He does something rather unusual, like Jesus does sometimes. It seems He bypasses the whole multitude. But really, that's not His design. His design is to focus the attention of the nation back to the basics. Yeah, I'm interested in the multitude. But I'm interested in forming a relationship with them one by one. And He walks into this man's life. I'm preaching to you tonight, Jesus came to make a change. Some of you need a change from religion to relationship. Huh? He came to change your circumstances. Oh, God, help me. I may get a little broader here for a few minutes. You know, whatever your circumstance is here tonight, I want to tell you something. Jesus can change it. It's not too hard for Him, Brother Bailey. Oh, hallelujah. He is able, Brother Francis, to do exceeding and abundantly above what you could ask or even think. Oh, hallelujah. Here's this man in such a pitiful condition, and Jesus doesn't bypass that. Amen. In fact, many times, Jesus works through our outer circumstances to touch our inner life. It's He who decides to feed the multitude that His sermon about the bread of life might have the greater impact. Can I hear an amen here? Oh, let me tell you something, church. We need to be concerned about people's situations because Jesus is concerned about their situations. He said, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is my rule. This is my law, that you help one another, bear one another's burdens. Jesus saw the burden of this lame man and He reached down to where he was. And He changed his circumstances. I want to tell you something tonight. He's capable of changing yours too. I was preaching in southern Indiana several months ago. And I don't want to get too off track here, but let me tell you how capable God is of changing something just like that. Wednesday night, we called for people to come up that had special needs to pray for them. And different ones came up. Sometimes I ask folks what they want prayer for. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I pray better if I know what I'm praying about. Amen. That's just me. Amen. Maybe you're not that way, but I'm that way. And this young woman came up, young married woman, two children. And I said, what's your need here? What do you need God to do? She said, "I've got a financial need." I didn't know at the time the extent or the amount of the need, but it was a great need that she needed met in her family. We prayed that night. Thursday night rolled around. She came back up for prayer again. "What do you need?" I said tonight. She said, "Same thing. Got a financial need. I need God to move in this." Friday night rolled around. Needed $700. I found that out months later. Amen. I didn't know that night. It might as well have been $7,000 for all I knew. There's been times, Brother Nichols, amen, when, you know, you ain't got $700. Amen. It might as well be $7,000. Amen. When you don't have it. Amen. And so, Friday night, she came back to church and the service was almost over. She didn't ask for prayer on Friday night. She said, I've got a testimony. I got in prayer line Wednesday night. I got in prayer line last night, but today God sent us a check for the exact amount that we needed and we rejoiced. I'm going to tell you what, God can meet your need. Well, that's just half the story. About a month later, we were back in the area and she came up to my wife and said, listen, that's not all of the story. God not only sent us the check for the amount that that debt was, but just a little bit later, something happened and the debt was canceled. Hallelujah. And we got to keep the money. Are you hearing me here? Way down here, looking up, trying to find an answer. And all of a sudden, God moves and brings them up to status quo. But hey, He's able to do above what you can ask or think. And before God's done with it, amen, He's up above. Hallelujah. What was down in debt is now way up ahead. I want to tell you what God wants to do for you. He wants to take you from way down low and not just pick you up on level ground, but He wants to put you higher than you've ever been before. I said He can change it. Oh, hallelujah. Sister Tammy Barrett down in London, Kentucky. I've known her nearly all my life. In her early 30s. Been married for several years. Not able to have a child. Oh, God, help me to preach tonight. We got in a revival down there last fall. And on the last night of the revival, she was the last one in the prayer line. The Holy Ghost fell in that building. Hit her cousin who was up singing on the platform. And she started shouting. Swept across the auditorium. And people started shouting. Her husband was standing right next to me as I started to pray for her. He fell down on his knees and over on his side. Amen. I didn't hardly lay hands on her, Brother Nichols, before the Holy Ghost just knocked her down on her back. Oh, God, help me here. I asked her, what do you need? And she could hardly breathe it out for the tears. She said, children. I quoted a verse from the Bible as the Holy Ghost gave me the utterance. I said, it's a heritage of the Lord. I believe it's the will of God. Ah, we're supposed to go back in November. And you know what? It's going to be a family of three instead of a family of two. God is able to change your situation. Just like that. You know, there's something in this story. Oh, God, help me here tonight. Lift your hands and ask God to help us here in this building. Oh, God. What's your situation? What's your problem? You know, sometimes our biggest problem is not our outward circumstances, but it's our inner condition. And that's what seemed to raise the most fire in Jesus' ministry is when He would reach for that inner condition. Knock a hole in the ceiling, let a man down that's lame, and before Jesus heals him, He says, thy sins be forgiven thee. and the Pharisees about had a hernia. Oh, God help me. But he was reaching on the inside. See, God is more interested in more than just our health and our wealth. You believe in prosperity? I believe in a biblical sense of prosperity. But I'm going to tell you what, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, it'll profit you nothing. Jesus steps up to this man and he says something. I've read it so many times, but it never caught me like it's caught me this year. Wilt thou? What a question. He's been laying here for 38 years? I mean, come on. You'd think if he didn't want to, he'd have left 37 years ago.
All right.
But something's kept him lying here. Can I hear an amen? Oh, God. Wilt thou? Can you imagine the audacity to ask someone in this condition a question like that? Here's a guy that can't walk. Brother Jared, could you go up to a man in a wheelchair and in all sincerity say to him, would you like to walk?
Oh, no. Come on. Come on.
Come on now. I want you to think about that. I'm going to tell you what, it would almost be an insult for anybody to ask a question like that,
right,
except for somebody that could change the circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. Will you be made whole? I think he's talking about more than just a physical body. He's reaching down to the hopes of this man. He's reaching down to the heart of this man. You've laid here for so long in this condition that maybe your hope has died. Maybe your faith has died. But I've got a question for you here today. Are you willing? Will you be made whole? Will you? Is it your will to have a change? Are you tired of the way your life is? Would you like a change? I feel that same Jesus here tonight asking that same question here tonight. Wouldn't you like a change? Aren't you tired of that empty heart? Aren't you tired of that nagging fear? That even though you're religious, you may not actually be right. Oh, help me here tonight, thanks to God. Huh? Will you? Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm about to close here in a little bit. Listen to this man's answer. Lord, I have no man to help me. But while the waters are troubled, somebody else goes down. Can I just boil that down to two words? This is what I hear in that answer. Two words. Listen. I can't. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anything you've been struggling against? You just can't get free from it. Oh, God, help me here. 38 years! 38 years! Never dawned on me how long that was till this year. I'm going to be 38 this year, by the way. Never dawned on me that's a long time, Brother Willis. Amen. 38 years. We're talking about a problem that's been around since Lyndon B. Johnson was in the White House. Are you hearing me here? We're talking about something that's been going on since 1966. The 70s have come and gone, and we're still struggling against it. The 80s have come and gone, and we're still struggling against it. The 90s have come and gone, and we're still trying to get free, but we can't seem to free ourselves. We made ourselves religious, Don't you want some real help here tonight? He says, I can't. But wait a minute, I'm closing. Get ready, honey. Just go ahead and come on, Sister Kim. Sir, I have no man to help me. But when I try to come down, another steppeth down before me. Boil it down to two words. I can't. But let me tell you what else I read between the lines here. Yeah, he said I can't, but you know what else he's saying? If I could, I would. Oh, hallelujah. Will you? Will you? To them gave he power. To be the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for every heart that's in this building. Oh, God. Oh, God. I feel you having compassion here tonight, trying to make a difference in somebody's life. Whether or not they respond to it, Lord, I don't know. But, oh God, if you have to save them with fear, do what you got to do, Lord. Oh God. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. Nobody looking. Oh God. Nobody looking but God. You're here tonight. You'd slip a hand up. You'd say, preacher, I need a change in my life. Maybe you've got religion, but you don't have a relationship. You'd slip a hand up while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I need God. God bless you. I need God to make a change. Just slip that hand up right back down. Oh, God. God bless you. Lord Jesus. Several different hands went up. God bless you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I want to ask you another question tonight while heads are still bowed. If you're here tonight, oh God, I don't want nobody looking but God right now. I'm going to close my eyes and bow my head too. Just between you and God. You're here tonight. And if you died before sunrise, you're 100% sure. There's no doubt in your life. There's no sin in your life. See, sin can't enter heaven. something happened to you tonight. You're 100% sure. Don't lie to yourself and don't lie to God. Nobody's looking but Him. But if something happened tonight, you're 100% sure that you'd be with the Lord. You're right with God. I want you to slip your hand up and right back down. Nobody looking. Your sins are under the blood. You've turned away from them. You're striving with all your heart to live a holy life. Oh, God. If something happened tonight, you're sure that things are right. Slip that hand up and right back down. Nobody looking but God. Oh, God. I want the congregation to stand with me tonight while Sister Kim gets ready to sing here. If you couldn't raise your hand on that tonight, you need a change. Would you pray with me, saints, while I wait for somebody to come to this altar tonight? You couldn't raise your hand. I want you to slip out of your seat right now. Come on.
Do you want a new life?
Come on. Will you? Will you?
Wilt thou be made whole?
Oh, will you?
Believe in Christ.
God bless these few tender hearts that have come, but I feel like God's reaching for somebody here tonight. You couldn't raise your hand in all honesty to that second question. Oh, friend. You need a change.
God's question too.
And Jesus is here tonight to change your answer to that question.
Wilt thou be
by changing your life. Oh, won't you pray with me, saints, while we wait just a little while here tonight? I'm not in a big hurry. Oh, God.
Do you want to do it?
Oh, God, come on. How about a friend you know? You know you're not ready to meet God. Oh, right now. Right now He's here asking you, will you? Will you? But if you're not careful, you'll step off into eternity. And you'll be like that rich man in the 16th chapter of Luke. You'll be the one saying, will you, God? And it'll be too late. Oh, listen, listen. Do it while He can. Do it while He will. Do it while it can be done.
Wilt thou be made?
Come on. Come on, pray with me, church. I'm trying to reach for somebody that's got some religion, but they don't have a relationship. Oh, we should pray with me, saints, like it's your boy. Oh, how about it, friend? Come on, right now, step on out. My God, my God, my God.
Do you want to be washed as the white as the God's question to you. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want a new life? Wilt thou be made whole? Believe in Christ. Do you want to be washed as white as the snow? God's question to you. Wilt thou be made whole? Far above all else, I must be saved. Far above all else, I must be saved. For whatever you
church. Come on, friend. Come on, friend. You need to change. Oh, God.
Oh, let me be lost, oh Lord, for all eternity. Above all else,
oh, Lord,
I must be saved. For above all else, Lord, I must be saved.
Ask you something. Is there anything you need to change in your life before you step out into eternity?
Be happy.
You better do it while God is here to do it.
Will you be singing?
Oh God. Oh God.
While the ages roll.
I'm not trying to belabor this thing tonight, Brother Bailey, but I feel like God's still reaching for somebody in this building tonight.
I ask,
oh God,
this question. Where will you be? Will you be happy? ask this question. Where